day just to be here and look out. If you look at the fall, man, the leaves, the fog over the cement, it was beautiful driving up here this morning. The colors are beautiful. It's a great time of year, except for the football game yesterday. What game exactly? I'm sorry. It was not a. Anyway, we're going to go on with that. We got more important things to talk about, I promise you. A lot more important things to talk about. I'm going to talk today about loving God and loving our neighbors. Loving God and loving our neighbors. Loving God is very important. To do the things we need to do, we need to love God. But it's also important to love our neighbors. And it's easy for the ones that are really lovable. When I was reading this scripture, you know, I think, did the Lord really know who my neighbors were? You know, that's a joke. I've got wonderful neighbors. And actually, I'm a very social person. I usually know all my neighbors. I'm ashamed to say that I had a package delivered to me by mistake last week. I looked at the name, I didn't know the name. Looked at the address, I'm like, I think that's that house down there. They've been there probably, how many years? I was going to say 3 or 4, Rhonda's holding up 5. She's probably right. I've waved at them. I never knew their name. In 5 years, they lived 2 doors down from me. I never knew their name. I hadn't done a real good job loving that neighbor, have I? I didn't even bring them anything when they moved in the neighborhood, but we're called to love our neighbors. We're called to love everyone. We got so many people. Today I want to talk about who our neighbor really is also. Who our neighbor actually is. I'm going to start out by reading Scripture. And I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 46. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love your Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question, "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David by spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I just come to you to give you thanks, Lord. Just thank you for being here. Thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for blessing us in so many ways, Lord. I just pray that all we do here is to honor and glorify you, and you speak your words through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love God and love your neighbor. That's what this scripture is about. Love God and love your neighbor. And of course, the scripture opens up by the Pharisees, a lawyer who's a Pharisee, asking him a question. And he's trying to trick him. He was trying to make light of other commandments. So he asked him which one was the greatest. And when he did, Jesus just answered and said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul." And then he said, love your neighbor. Heart, soul, and mind. We're supposed to love God with heart, soul, and mind. Again, Jesus calls that the first and greatest commandment. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. You see, Jesus understood the law perfectly. And instead of promoting one commandment over the other or talking down about a commandment, he says to love the Lord and love your neighbor. Love the Lord and love the neighbor as yourself. But what does it mean? First, I want to talk about loving the Lord. Loving the Lord. What does it mean to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind? Sounds like a pretty simple question, pretty simple sentence, but love in our society, the word love, has kind of been watered down. When we speak of love now, in the English language, we only have one word for it, and we could be talking about loving our car, loving pizza. Used to loving college football, or loving people. So we use that one word. And again, I think I love Rhonda a little differently than I love pizza. Yeah. And I think I love Abby a little differently than I may love college football, thank God. And I love all of you all, but I love you different than I love my family. Even though you all are family, you are family, but we have different, without having different words for it, there's different variances of love. Again, I love my truck, but I don't really want to sleep in it. I don't really want to hug it, but it's a good vehicle, you know. So the word love is, again, it's just so watered down now. See, I think what Jesus was talking about when he talked about loving God with your heart, soul, and mind, that he was talking about fully devoting and committing your entire life to him. Fully devoting and committing your entire life to him. It's easy to say you love somebody, but we can really tell who we love or what we love by our actions, by how they rank on our list of things that we may have, how important they are by how much time we spend with them. And it's the same way with God. We can tell how much we love God by where we spend our time. Are we really fully devoted and committed to Him? Are we living our whole life to glorify Him? Are we giving Him honor and glory in everything that we do? You see, this is what it means to love Him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. You see, because when we're doing that, again, we have a fully devoted relationship. It means that we should give Him the glory for everything. It means that we should continually worship Him. It means that all our thoughts should be centered around Him. We had a lesson a few months ago on worship. That's basically what worship means, is making Him the center of our life. Revolving our lives around Him. I think we live now in a society where that's difficult to do because we're used to having everything revolve around our lives. We're used to putting God around our lives instead of putting Him in the center of our life. To truly put Him in the center of our lives, we put other people's needs ahead of ours. We go and meet neighbors that have lived there for a couple of months or 4 or 5 years. We go talk to them. We ask people what their needs are. We take care of their needs because this flows right into, if we're really loving God with our heart, soul, and our mind, then we're taking care of our neighbors too. They go together. If we truly love God, then we will love our neighbor. We will love each other. You all are my neighbors. But who was Jesus talking about here when he mentioned neighbors? Again, when we think of neighbors, we think of people who live in close proximity to us, maybe next door to us, maybe in the same neighborhood. But neighbor here means pretty much everybody we come in contact with. If I see you, you're my neighbor. If I'm acquainted with you, you're my neighbor. You see, neighbors are more than people who live next door. Your neighbor, the easiest way for me to put it in my mind and really realize who my neighbor is this simple. It's anybody that Jesus died for. My neighbor is anybody that Jesus died for. You won't look many people in the eye that's not your neighbor. Jesus died for us all. Jesus died for us all. And when Jesus talked about these two commandments, he did not say the rest of them didn't matter. What he's saying is if we truly love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and we truly love our neighbor and we put their needs ahead of ours, the rest of the commandments are, I don't want to say easy, but if we truly do those two things, the others fall in line. It don't mean they don't matter, but if we truly love our neighbor, we're not going to steal from them. If we truly love our neighbor, we're not going to kill them. If we truly love our neighbor, we're not going to sin against them. If we truly love our neighbor, and if we truly love God, we won't sin against God. Again, I'm talking about that love that is a deep, committed love. That love that means that that person or that being is the most important thing in your life. That's the type of love that we're talking about in this scripture. That's the type of love that Jesus is talking about. Do you love God with your heart, soul, and mind? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? So far, those are the two questions we really need to ask ourselves. And if we do, we say we do, can you see evidence of that in our lives? Can you see evidence of that in our lives? I'm an active action type person. I don't like to sit around. If you tell me not to do something, I kind of gets my attention and I start thinking about it, even if it's something I didn't think about doing. But if you give me something to do, I won't think about doing what I shouldn't be doing. It's just who I am. If you give me something to do, if you give me a mission, you give me a task, I can stay in line pretty good. See, we need to be concentrating on things that we should. What do you think about Christ? Whose son is he? And of course, the Pharisee knew the Bible really well. He knew Scripture really well. So he answered, he's the son of David. The Messiah is the son of David. We know that from reading the Old Testament. See, the Pharisees identified the lineage of the Messiah coming through David's lineage. Jesus had another question. How could it be David's son? And he's not saying he's wrong because he's partially right, but he's trying to get this lawyer to stop thinking with his head and start thinking with his heart a little bit. The lawyer had all kinds of head knowledge, but I'm not sure where his heart was. He knew the rules. He knew how to keep the rules. But where was his heart? How could it only be David's son when it was also David's Lord? And Jesus tried to explain to him that the Messiah is fully human and fully God. The Messiah is fully human and fully God. See, David calls him both Lord and his son. The Messiah is truly the Lord. He's truly God. We know this from the Scripture. We know that he's fully human. He's fully God. He walked the earth. He suffered for us. He took our sins on the cross. He died for us. He felt pain just like a human. He felt suffering just like a human because he was fully human. But he was fully divine. He rose again. He took our sins to the grave. He took our sins to the grave and left them there. He rose, but he left our sins in the grave. After Jesus asked this question, Nobody had an answer for it. They didn't understand. Again, the Pharisees were an educated, good group of leaders who knew the law very well. But they didn't recognize that they were talking to the Messiah. You see, they were hoping to trap Jesus, and Jesus was trying to reveal who he was to them, but they didn't listen. Again, nobody answered his question. But after that, they didn't ask him any more questions either. They knew the law, but they didn't know what it was like to put God in the center of their life. Do you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind? Is he the center of your life? Have you fully committed your life to him? And are you giving him the glory for everything in your life? Is he the center of your life? Have you fully committed your life to him? And are you giving him the glory for everything in your life? Sounds pretty simple questions. But again, how's it revealed in your actions? How's it revealed in my actions? It's easy to give God the glory when things are going good. But when things are bad, when things start hitting you, and you get busy, can we still give God the glory? Do we love him enough to honor him in good times and in bad? I want to ask you another question. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Again, this church, I am overwhelmed by how you take care of your neighbors. I truly am. If you look at not just around the holidays, but the way we take care of people throughout the year that's in need in this neighborhood is amazing. The way other people in this neighborhood take care of each other is amazing. This is a great community. We love our neighbors. We have evidence of that. And it's easy. You know, it's easy to love a neighbor as yourself when it's somebody that looks like you, acts like you, talks like you. But what if it's somebody that disagrees with you? Guess what? They're still your neighbor. They're still your neighbor. I told you before when I was in sales, I was a pretty decent salesman. I'd go around and the people that I liked, the people that I could have conversations with, the people who had a lot of things in common with me, I was really successful with them. The people that I may not have liked that were different than me, that I had trouble communicating with, I didn't do so well with them. Kind of avoided them. Then all of a sudden I needed more money, I needed to sell more things. And to really be successful, you got to be able to deal and talk to people that you don't agree with too. Again, our neighbors, anybody that Christ died for, whether they're like us, they look like us, they act like us, that's who our neighbors are. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? As David said, is he your Lord? Is he your Lord? That's the important question this morning. Is have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you hadn't, it's a great morning to do it. It's a great morning to make that decision that lasts an eternity. If you have, but like in my life, sometimes he gets displaced from the center. If you've accepted him as your Savior, but sometimes things kind of get in between you and building that relationship with Christ, and you've got some of that stuff you need to get rid of, I pray for you this morning. I pray that you make that decision to get rid of the junk that's between you and the Lord. It's what we should be doing every day. We should be asking for forgiveness every day. We should be clearing our space between us and our relationship with God. Sometimes it's easy to get cluttered, especially starting this time of year and all. We get so busy. We get so busy with a lot of things that sometimes can take over our lives. I love the holidays. I love the holidays. I used to love college football season. I'm going to quit mentioning that. But I love so many things like that. But sometimes it's easy to let them get in the way of your relationship with God. It's great to celebrate, but we got to remember who we're worshiping. Is He your Lord? Is He your Lord? And again, I just want to end by asking these couple of questions again. Do you love God with your heart, soul, and mind? Do you love God with your heart, soul, and mind? And do you love your neighbor as yourself? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for always being there. Lord, thank You for being who You are. Lord, thank You for being so patient and forgiving when it comes to us. Lord, we don't always love You with our heart, all our heart, soul, and mind. Sometimes we fall short. Sometimes we let things get in between our relationship with You, Lord. I just pray that You remove those things from our life where we can focus our life totally on You. Lord, I'll admit it, we all need to work on loving our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, that's it's so important, but can be so difficult to do, Lord, because sometimes we can be pretty selfish, Lord. I pray that You remove that selfishness from our lives, Lord, where we can look at our neighbors and see them as Your children, Lord. We can put their needs above ours. Lord, I want to thank You most of all for sending Your Son. For sending Your Son to die for our sins, Lord. For taking care of the things that we couldn't do on our own, Lord. I just pray that if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, that hasn't accepted You as their Lord and Savior, Lord, they come to that knowledge today. They enter that relationship today. Lord, and for those of us who are Christians, Lord, but we have let things creep in the way of building our relationship with You, Lord, I just, again, just ask You to remove those things from our mind and our heart and our soul, Lord, we can solely focus on You. And I ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.